What do you think they're doing with cash?
Right.
What deal do you make where someone says, "I'll bring a box of money to you"?
Yeah.
This is a state sponsor of terrorism. USA,
home of the brave. Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, and my fellow citizens, America's comeback starts right now.
From the land of the free and the brave, USA, I love my country, they can't take that away.
All right, welcome back. Financial Guys Podcast, Mike Spiraza in studio live today with a guest in the studio. I haven't had this in a long time. Staff Sergeant, Medal of Honor recipient, David Bellavia, joining me for about a half hour today. David, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I'm going to stick, based on your background, I'm going to stick with a lot of military stuff today. And I want to start, we'll go all the way back to the beginning of the Joe Biden presidency. The Afghanistan withdrawal, in my opinion, did not go very smoothly. I'm sure many people listening agree. What were your overall thoughts of that withdrawal and how it actually ended up happening? I mean, we lost, you know, sadly lost 13 soldiers in that withdrawal. People say we went off the wrong air base. People say that we shouldn't have gone out in the middle of the summer. There's a lot of different things there. What were your overall thoughts on that?
I think it's like the worst day in American history since Market Garden. Just absolutely. And the reason why it was so difficult was it was totally unnecessary. Right. So let's rewind to the Obama trade. Bo Bergdahl and the three first-round draft picks. They get Marshall, they get MacArthur, and they get Patton that end up the resurgence of the Taliban. These men not just go back to the enemy, they go back to the battlefield. They're in power when the government falls. You have misinformation coming from the White House that the president of Afghanistan is leaving with billions of dollars on his plane, which wasn't true. And then you leave the equipment, the cash. There's no recovery. We're getting reports of sales of American equipment left in Afghanistan in Southeast Asia. We're moving material across the globe. Our children will fight and pay and have to atone for these miscalculations.
Yeah, I mean, and let's talk about that. You being in the military and you knowing, you know, that area too. Why did they just find it, you know, the easiest way out to just say, you know, just leave that billions of dollars of equipment there and not think, again, if it was me, and I'm speaking that someone that's never been in the military, but if it's me and I'm the president, I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to leave all our weaponry there. I don't want to lose any of my men, number two. And number three, I want to make sure that everybody knows when and how we're getting out of there. And it just felt like, poof, one day they said, we're getting out of here.
Well, it's because the military didn't make any of those decisions. I mean, Look, Milley, it can criticize him. You can criticize Secretary of Defense, worthy of criticism. However, none of these individuals are making decisions. This is about NGOs on the ground. This is about the State Department. So you've got Bagram Air Base, the equivalent of JFK. You've got Karzai International Airport, the equivalent of Teterboro, right? Why would you ever do an exfil out of Karzai International Airport?
Right.
It makes absolutely no sense. It's tactically unsound. And then you've got all the ISIS-K. We retaliate from the murder of 13 of our bravest, and we drop a bomb on a guy delivering water. He's on our payroll. And we kill children on that. Then we take out, you know, Borat on a tuk-tuk driving around. Like, you know, that wasn't even really what was happening. It's just a den of lies, and Tony Blinken and Jake Sullivan, all the heroes that brought us, you know, the Bergdahl deal, the Iran nuke deal. The State Department is running all foreign policy, including what the DOD used to run.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I know Biden's the president, but do you blame him at all? Or is it everybody underneath him that, you know, maybe was giving him bad information? And again, some of these decisions, David, is Biden even involved in some of these decisions? Like, I don't even know anymore. Is he around? Is he paying attention to anything going on?
Well, I mean, just from the press conferences, it was apparent he didn't know what was going on.
Right.
You know, and the great irony is that they actually were predicting that Ukraine was going to be invaded and, you know, no one believed them. So it's like you can't influence your friends. The allies don't trust you. The enemy doesn't respect you. You know, I mean, you've got Ben Rhodes is really proud of this State Department. Susan Rice loves what they're doing. But, you know, again, Americans died. And, you know, and what is the perfect culmination of the adventure in Afghanistan? Looking at your watch at Dover Air Base when bodies are coming home. I mean, nothing could, you couldn't ask for a just, it's a debacle.
Yeah, and it's sad that that's the leader of our country there. Let's move in. You brought up the Ukraine there, so the Russia-Ukraine conflict. We'll get to Zelensky in a minute. He is, as we speak, in New York City right now. But so Trump's in office. We don't see many of these conflicts or any conflicts actually started under his watch. And then we have the Biden administration come in, and a year later we have Russia invading Ukraine. Why did this happen, and why the timing of February of 2022?
So let's go back to when we were fighting ISIS. Trump engaged and destroyed some say 300 members of Wagner forces, but those were Russian nationals.
Yep.
We engaged, we destroyed them. What was the response from Putin? Nothing at all. So what do people in that section of the world, Eastern Europe, the Middle East, what do they respect? They respect power. They respect authority. You're not going to get any respect if you don't engage the enemy when they present themselves. I don't understand the calculus of, I'm trying hard to figure it out. I don't get it. Romania and Hungary and Poland, you're letting them unilaterally decide whether or not they want to send reinforcements into Ukraine. That's an act of war. If NATO members engage the enemy, all of NATO is engaged against the enemy. Poland doesn't unilaterally make that decision. Hungary and Romania don't unilaterally make that decision. We can't even articulate what the mission is. And if you look, go to the Institute for the Study of War. There's a plug for them. Check out their overlay from when the battle started, when the war started with Russia, and tell me what success this offensive in Ukraine has produced.
I mean, let me ask this question too, because I get confused. The answer is nothing, right?
Nothing.
No,
they haven't done anything.
I ask this on Twitter, X, whatever it's called, all the time. What is the end game, and how do we get there? Because all I see the answer is, hey, just blank checks. Hey, just write a check. Hey, here's $1 billion. Hey, here's $20 billion. Hey, here's another $10 billion. I don't actually see like anything, right? If I write a business plan of what I want to do in 2024, my goal is X. I write down my steps to get to X, right? I don't just write down X and say it's going to happen. I don't really know. And then the answer always is, well, we have to fight. We have to back Ukraine. Okay, but when does that end? Because the Afghanistan war and the war in Iraq lasted 20 years. Plus, right? And you know, was there a real end to, you know, I don't know. Like, that's where it gets frustrating for me, Dave, where I'm like, how do we know what the end game is? Do you win or lose? When does that happen? I don't have an answer on that.
Well, I mean, I think you're, at least you're thinking about it. And I fear that our leaders aren't. And that's the problem. So here's what this comes out. You're going to get a negotiated settlement out of Ukraine, right? But you talk about the billions of dollars that we're spending and giving to Ukraine as a blank check. First of all, Zelensky visited Ukrainian soldiers in the United States. Did you know that there were wounded Ukrainian soldiers in the United States?
I did not know that.
Well, today he visited them. So what's happening there? So that's a cost that no one is putting on the ledger. So now let's look at the blank check that Ukraine is getting. And by the way, I'm pro-Ukraine. I want to fight communists all day and night. So let's punch Putin hard in the face. However, you're giving him a blank check and you're giving him munitions. Now here's the problem. We have to replace those munitions. Those munitions were purchased for a 20-year global war on terror. And let's be honest, inflation is involved. So what you purchased for $10 is now $17.
Right.
So you're not just giving them the money, you're giving them the equipment and the munitions that you have to replace yourself at the value of what it's valued today. We haven't scratched the surface for the amount of money. CBO, absent at the wheel, no one is tracking this. It's 2024 can't get here fast enough.
How does this work, though, when you talk about some of these NATO nations coming together and making decisions? But is us not just giving weaponry, giving everything, money, whatever we're giving there, is that not an act of war, too, though, David, at some point? Like, we're continuing to fund Ukraine, continuing the war in Ukraine. I mean, that to me seems like we're backing a war.
Well, I mean, by the letter of the law and NATO charter, it's not. But here's the problem. It's schizophrenic because we were told that what was an offensive weapon was going to mitigate You know, that wasn't going to help peace at all. So we went from, I don't know if they should get tracked vehicles, to I'm not sure an artillery piece is what they need, to HIMARS rockets being launched. And let's be honest, I mean, the Ukrainians are the payload that they're going through, what you would have to have cataclysmic casualty numbers to be able to... to the spendex that they're doing on the ground, that they need to replace Patriot. If you're going through 35 Patriot 2, you know, missiles, I would expect to at least see 20 MiGs that are shot down. They're using them for air artillery.
Yep.
They're using them for indirect fire. I don't know what they're doing, but this is going to end with Donbass going to Russia. This is going to end with that land chain that Putin wanted through Crimea. And again, our friends in NATO, what are they even doing for Ukraine? They said that Trump wanted to kill NATO. Biden did it.
Right.
Biden did it. And now Germany, and so Putin was selling oil at $30 a barrel. What's it at, 96?
Yep.
He's making more money than he did before, and he's financing a war and killing innocent people.
You mentioned before, too, and I think this is a good point. Everybody on the left, and I'll say the media, the establishment, whoever you want to say, says that if you don't agree with the war in Ukraine, you're like pro-Putin, right? And that's just the most outrageous thing in the world, because I agree with you. I feel for the people of Ukraine. I don't want this for them. I don't want this for innocent people. However, at some point, the world's every one of the world's problems can't be America's problem when we have a border crisis. And there, I think they said yesterday, 10,000 people came across. They got, I think, 8,000 of the 10,000. But you see the numbers day over day. It's a problem. We have crime that's rampant. We have overdoses that are at record numbers. We have suicides that are at record numbers. At some point, we have to maybe just think about ourselves and not everybody else, because if we fall. Sadly, I think the world falls at that point.
Amen. The thing that I would add is I love the way the Ukraine refugee has been crowbarred into the migrant crisis in the United States. New York leaders from the city to all over, Kathy Hochul, the governor of the state of New York, mentioning that, you know, like the Ukrainians in Poland, the Polish have no intention to keep Ukrainians there forever.
Right.
That's a temporary, you know, they're leaving a conflict to return to their country after the conflict is over. Again, this is just, we're putting a round peg into a square hole and just hammering it away. But there's no, the media, there's no consequence to any of these decisions. And unfortunately, you're destroying our military. I go to parents all the time around this country and ask them to give us their sons and daughters to join the military. And the one thing they bring up is Afghanistan. It's not about anything. It's Afghanistan. How are you going to assure us that you're going to maintain your commitment to our son and daughter when you betrayed us in Afghanistan? That has lasting effects. And there's not a I'm trying to find a segment of our nation that's functioning. I don't know what it is.
I saw in Chicago they're going to have municipally owned grocery stores. Maybe that will figure itself
Whole Foods,
out there.
Yeah,
it's good.
That's awesome.
Real quick, do you think, and we'll finish up on this topic, but do you think that they will, we will ever have boots in the ground on Ukraine?
I mean, I hope not, because I just don't know what the. I mean, look at we're getting ready for China. We're trying to revolutionize everything. I don't know what the plan is. I mean, again, if you wanted to put a base in Ukraine and you wanted to make that a sustainment operation going forward, here's the point. I don't understand what the inactive ready reserve call-up was for. Why are you bringing those troops in, the non-combat support? Why are they going to Ukraine? Are you building an infrastructure there? Here's what I do know. We're talking a minimum of $11 trillion to build Ukraine back. That is cataclysmic amounts of money. There isn't water, electricity, internet. You know, you want to help Ukraine. Russia's not paying for that if you negotiate a settlement. So I don't know what the plan is, but I hope we never see boots on the ground.
I could guess what the plan is. I won't say for sure, but I could guess that we'll be paying a chunk of that. I do have one last one. So I did interview Colonel Douglas McGregor a few months back, and he talked about.
He's a real optimist, by the way.
He is really very optimistic.
He's very bullish on victory in Ukraine.
Very optimistic. I'm dropping stuff all over the place. He brought up some staggering numbers, though, and even if they're half true, it's a problem. The amount of casualties and wounded soldiers, on the Ukrainian side that we're not hearing about in the media. I don't know if you agree with some of those numbers or not, but he's saying, I mean, it's people are acting as if this is an even war right now, and it's not even close.
First of all, McGregor's a stud. Yeah. I mean, he's an absolute, you know, that we're glad he's on our side. He's a military mind. I don't know if those numbers are accurate. I could tell you they're juxtaposed to almost everything we're hearing from every institution that we have, including a lot of our intel from Germany and England. But again, I don't know what to believe. Yeah. So when you don't have transparency, when you're not holding regular press conferences, when your Pentagon spokesman is now working in the White House, and now you're getting a triple spin. I mean, the U.S. Open double backspin. Yeah. You've got so many spins on the narrative. I don't know what to believe. But if he is even close to what is a segment of truth, you know, then look, Ukraine needs an investigation. There's a lot of investigations. Yep. We've got to start on Afghanistan. We were promised that by Speaker McCarthy. We need a hot wash on Afghanistan. And then we need to go to who is oversighting the money that's going to Ukraine, and what have we got for our return on investment?
Yeah, I'm not asking for much. Really, all I'm asking for in this conflict is, can we just talk about what the end game is? And to your point, can we get an accounting of where the money's going and what's being spent, and a real accounting of it? The Iran deal that just happened last week. First off, the fact that that was negotiated and completed on September 11th to me is just the ultimate slap in the face. But you know more about this than I do. We do a 5-for-5 trade. Okay, I'm going to use sports analogies. We trade 5-for-5, and then we also approved of $6 billion that apparently wasn't ours, but it was in a fund that now they can release to Iran. How are we winning on that one?
Well, first of all, I was hoping that at least it was a digital transfer. The fact that it went as euros in cash through Qatar. And, okay, so what happens the 24 hours after that deal is made? We're now getting issues in the West Bank. We're now hearing about issues in Yemen. We've now got Hezbollah that's reinforced. I mean, what do you think they're doing with cash?
Right.
What deal do you make where someone says, I'll bring a box of money to you?
Yeah.
This is a state sponsor of terrorism. They haven't changed. By the way, their president is now in New York City addressing the United Nations. This guy's killed 6,500 of his own people. He admits to it. He killed the students that revolted and wanted democracy when we did nothing. He killed 5,000 of his citizens in 1988. He's killed over 300 Americans. There's no accountability whatsoever. I don't understand what it is about Jake Sullivan and Tony Blinken that believe that Iran is a partner. All you've done 10 years ago, they were refining 10% of their oil.
Yeah,
and now look, they're a force. Now they're working with Maduro in Venezuela, and they're a huge part of they're members of the international community. They're in good standing. They're. I don't get it. Does anyone believe that the Iran nuke deal? Look, we got hit with cruise missiles under Trump in Iraq. How did they have those cruise missiles? Those cruise missiles were illegal under the Obama nuke deal. Yep. So how are you refurbishing missiles in 2 years? Do we believe that their centrifuges have stopped? That they won't have a program if they don't have one already?
No. I mean, I guess my question, though, David, is how – I mean, I know that you pay a lot of attention to this stuff, but how do people, like, in the media not ask these questions, right? I mean, these are legitimate – I mean, we just traded, too. I put this on my notes here. This is on the heels of trading a WNBA basketball player for the Merchant of Death, like, 6 months ago, right? I mean, right. And again, I'm glad Americans are coming back to America. I don't want to sound pessimistic on that. That's great news. But we also – I mean – This stuff just seems like, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, it warrants questions, but nobody seems to care.
I'm in the world that if you take hostages, we take hostages. You want to exchange people, we'll exchange people. We definitely have the partners in the area to do that. For whatever reason, this administration, they're contrarians. They're contrarians to, you know, they claim Bush and Cheney are their best friends, yet they just go 180 degrees from that doctrine. I don't know what the Biden doctrine is. Yeah. I don't know what Bidenomics is either, but I could tell you that they believe that Iran is a partner. Now, here's another thing. Our envoy to Iran not only is no longer the envoy, he doesn't have a security clearance. Does anyone curious at the New York Times as to what happened to the lead negotiator in Iran that is escorted off a bus, taken into American custody, given a job at Yale or Princeton or wherever he's working now. I've never heard of a person going from top secret classified negotiations to no clearance whatsoever and in the custody of American intelligence community. No one cares. No one cares at all. It's fascinating.
And again, for me, I mean, these are big decisions that we're making. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it used to be, you know, maybe we did a 2-for-5 deal and then we made the $6 billion. Now we're like, we're giving stuff away and we're on the losing end. Correct me if I'm wrong, but America was never, you know, America losing. It was always America winning, right? America getting the best of deals.
At least McDonald's has a 5-for-5.
Yeah, that's right.
We didn't even get that. You know what this does, though, honest to God? If you're thinking about traveling overseas, things go sideways, cartel, South America, Mexico, wherever you're going, you have a price in your head now. No one in their right mind is going to bring you back, whether it's Haiti or wherever you are. You're worth $1.25 billion.
Yep.
And thugs and scumbags are going to take advantage of that.
I mean, that's a great point, too. Do you think about leaving the country? I don't know anymore. That's a little bit concerning. I don't care where you're going, right? No. That's concerning. This one I just had to bring up because it happened 2 days ago or yesterday. How do we lose a plane? And I heard that's like the third one in the last 6 weeks that this, something like this has happened. How are we losing $80 million planes?
Well, they're not $80 million anymore because they've got a new engine and all this other stuff. Look, the F-35 program is a complete disaster. You want to talk about why our allies, you know, think we're crazy. We sold them a plane that, you know, this program has been around since the early 90s. And we've got nothing on return for it. So basically, two planes are flying, you know, in a buddy team. They're doing training, and a guy punches out. We don't even know why he punched out, but that plane could have easily hit a building. It didn't, thank God.
A school or something.
But the wingman didn't follow where his buddy went. So what is he doing? He just kind of went on and did his own thing, and now the Marine Corps put a Facebook post, like a dog is missing, like.
You know, curtain.
We're expecting the Ukrainian farmers to carry the F-35 out with their tractors. I don't know what the point of it's wild. Look, I just stop embarrassing us. Just stop humiliating us. That's all I'm asking. You don't have, just be the Army and the Marine Corps that we know our men and women are capable of being. Get out of their way. Don't this gender garbage, this social experiment nonsense. Stop humiliating our military. That's all I ask.
Why can we not get the? I mean, I know why we can't get the answer, but I'm asking this to you. But why can't we at a press conference at the White House? Why can't we say I want to talk to the guy that was in the other plane, or you can tell us the transcript of what happened when that happened. Talk to the guy who jumped out of the plane. Why did you do that? And again, I'm not trying to put our military on the spot, but these are kind of a big questions to ask, right? I mean, it's if I do something in my business, I have to go face the music. Music on that. Why doesn't everybody have to face music for the decisions or why things are happening? I think it's kind of important.
Well, you don't want to talk to generals because they're going to tell you the truth and they won't be generals anymore.
True. Yes.
And you don't want to talk to enlisted people because, look, I mean, let's be honest. How many people are is this a merit-based military anymore? Do we have a meritocracy? Are we promoting people based on pronouns? And, you know, go figure. When we're putting politics above military strength, you know, your accidents happen. We don't know the facts. But the fact that nobody cares about getting to the bottom of it, you know, the day of the Pentagon paper reporters are gone.
Yep. Yep. Let's just talk about the 2024 race quick, and then we will wrap up for today. So your thoughts on the Republican primary so far? I'll stay away from the Democratic side till the very end, but your thoughts on, you know, there's obviously Trump, who is now has a huge lead. Ron DeSantis seems to be crumbling underneath himself. Vivek Ramaswamy has jumped up in the polls. Nikki Haley's there. Tim Scott's there. A few others that probably aren't going to get a lot of votes. Chris Christie's the anti-Trump candidate. Mike Pence is, I don't know what Mike Pence is. I'm not really sure. Your thoughts about the whole field so far?
I mean, look, it's impressive. They got a deep bench. Yeah. There's a lot of diversity. I you know, none of it matters. Trump is the guy. Yeah. The more you indict him, the more you empower him. You know, I'd like him to work on his communications a little bit better. You know, Trump is the Frankenstein monster of Barack Obama. As long as you have that faction, you're going to get, you know, Trump is going to be empowered. I just don't want to see Governor Noem anywhere near the White House. And I, if he's going to pick a running mate, you know, it's hard to find an ally here, you know. But it would be nice to find a governor. I don't want to take anyone from the Senate. I don't want to take anyone from the House with the margins that tight. But, I mean, the idea that Governor Noem is being floated right now, I mean, I'd rather take North Dakota.
Yeah.
On a little sled there, whatever you say.
I, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because I saw a lot of that this weekend. I mean, can we just, for lack of a better term, keep it in our pants for about a year and then do what you got to do?
It's like,
can you? It really is. It's, I mean, every time you turn, somebody's doing something idiotic, whether it's Boebert. And again, I say this, David, a lot of people know who you are, a lot more know who you are than they will ever know who I am. But when you go out in public, into a movie theater like that, and I'm going to Boebert, not Noem for a second, you're extremely well known. I don't care if it's dark or if it's as light as it is in the studio right now. What are you thinking?
She's an embarrassment.
She is. She's been too.
But who would have thought that Marjorie Taylor Greene would have been the moral
the oasis of the Maryland? Yeah.
Right. I mean, seriously. Again, you're in Congress every day. You're out in public. You're on the job. You know, at least she wasn't wearing a hoodie. You know, that's all.
And shorts. Yeah, good point.
I mean, she was at least dressed for the occasion. But it's wildly embarrassing.
Yeah.
Vaping, singing, whatever you're doing. Yeah.
Getting groped. Yes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Who is your VP candidate then? Because I think, you know, you have names thrown around. There's Vivek has been thrown around in there. You know, Byron Donalds has been thrown around in there. Carrie Lake has. I don't know. I love Carrie Lake. I just don't know that Trump needs to go with somebody so divisive there. I think he's got to go with somebody that's firm in their beliefs, but also not maybe going to turn off half the country.
Well, it's impossible. Yeah. One of the problems with making Trump, the enemy of the state that the left has done is that you've really made it difficult for him to even put a cabinet together.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what are you going to do with? You've got a lot of loyalists out there. Vivek is I think maybe the most intelligent, dynamic candidate we've ever seen run for president.
Mm-hmm.
But experience does matter.
Yep.
But you know, I love the way he thinks. I love the movement. I don't know if he would even take the job, to be honest with you. I don't think he needs it. But you look at a Tim Scott. I think Tim Scott is, there's a whole lot to his message, and I think he's got the experience in the Senate. But honestly, you could literally take the Clint Eastwood chair and throw it in there as vice president.
Right.
I'm going with that because this from top to bottom. We have to have seismic change in 24.
Do you think he would ever choose Kristi Noem at this point with all that now out?
And, no one knew. Mike Pence was a 24-hour story, and then he was the vice president candidate. So who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot can happen between now and then. But I don't need, let's just pick people on their merit. Let's pick people that are ready to be the president. Imagine this. Imagine picking a vice president that can lead the country.
Yeah.
If something happens to a 75-year-old president,
like Kamala Harris,
right,
yeah, exactly,
someone like that.
Exactly. What do you think happens with Trump in the next year, though? I mean, obviously, with these cases and him going to courts and him doing all these things, do you think that impacts him at all, or is it just going to be the revenge tour that people truly buy into? I know I'm not a revenge retribution guy. At this point, I'm very much about that because it's just gotten to be outrageous.
Well, here's the deal. I don't think if he doesn't have the lead that he has, this is a problem.
Right.
But, I mean, what I would do if I was managing President Trump is I would put him in the same basement that Joe Biden was in.
Yep.
Lock him away and just keep him out of everything. Let him handle his court cases. Send out your surrogates to defend it. But the record is the record. He's probably the worst ambassador of his own record. I would say he's more people can defend what he did as president than he can.
Yeah, that's right. He gets too angry when he starts going on.
Right.
Let me say this one last thing too before I ask you who you think the actual Democratic candidate's going to be. DeSantis, is his political career in trouble?
No, not
you
at all.
Think so? Okay.
DeSantis is probably the worst communicator, but he's done the job.
Yeah.
I mean, he's. Yeah. I think DeSantis is in a great position. Matt Gaetz wants to run for governor. Everyone wants what they, Florida is like the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But as far as DeSantis goes, I mean, he's the real deal. And his decision making and the people he's got around him, I don't know what's going on there. But as far as like on day one, who's gonna get the job done? I mean, DeSantis is an incredible candidate.
I think he did himself a disservice by some of the people he's associated with. And I'm not saying so much, you know, on the higher level. I'm talking more some of these influencers he has, and I'm just being on Twitter all the time. Some of these people, I'm just like, Ron, why would you put those people in your corner? They constantly embarrass him. They constantly say the wrong thing. And in the world of social media and the world of media, period, that's just as bad as anything. Like that's just as bad as having Kamala Harris as your VP at this point, because you just take a beating on all social medias. And I wonder I know some people say he's a bit of an awkward guy, or maybe he's just trying to find the right people for himself, but it seems like those people are doing more harm than good for him.
Yeah. I mean, he might be a guy that is, you know, maybe he's just not a communicator.
Yeah.
And he's corny, and, you know, he wants to tell, look, he was with the SEALs, you know, a lot of people, you know, I get it. Yeah. You know, he's got a great resume, a great track record. He's a great governor. He's a disciplined Trump is what he is.
Yeah.
But it's just not his race.
Yeah.
And there's nothing he can listen. In order for him to get the nomination, a lot of horrible things need to happen. And I don't think America wants any of those things to happen.
I've said the same thing. I pray for President Trump and his family, because I don't trust what's going on right now. And I fear that if they can't get him off the ballot, which they're trying to do, and if they can't get the polls to tighten up, which they're not, I could only imagine what happens. Last thing, who is the candidate on the left?
Cornel West. No, I love him. I think I'll tell you what, he's a powerful, brilliant man, and I love the agitation of what what RFK Jr. And Cornell are bringing to that race. But again, I mean, look, here's the thing. We can wax poetic all we want. We know the Democrats love their superdelegates and changing the rules, but they've got a limited amount of time before. I mean, you want to talk about change. You go to the floor of a convention and literally start rewriting who's on the ballot. You're 6 months away from having decisions to make where you're going to have if you bring in a ringer right now to run for president as a Democrat, in 8 months, you're dealing with, you know, 44 states that will carry that candidate. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. Joe Biden's the guy until he says no. But maybe if I'm the Democrats, I think about impeachment. I really do. I think you can. I think they all met in their little conference, and I think maybe give impeachment a chance. That solves all your problems.
Yep. Do you believe the Michelle Obama rumors?
No.
You don't believe that? No.
First of all, the biggest scandal in the history of presidential politics is the Obama Netflix deal.
Yeah.
And no one wants to look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to tell me that guy is, you know, now he's Scorsese?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, it's absurd. Michelle Obama has a great quality of life. She's an influencer. She doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, they have the best life in the world. That's not, you don't want to put yourself in that.
But if not Biden, where do you go? I mean, it's not like they're deep.
Oh, no.
Is it Newsom?
What is he doing in Iowa? I mean,
true.
I don't know why unless he's trying to really get that Avis preferred presidential circle plan. He's putting a lot of miles on.
Yeah.
And that lawsuit against the oil companies it's nonsense. He's posturing like he's got something going. Who knows what's going to happen with that, with that Senate race?
Yeah.
You know, does he want to jump in there? Is that a landing spot for Kamala? You don't know.
Yeah, I hope, you know, and they've also said RFK might run as an independent, too, if he gets blocked out the way he's been blocked out. There was a rumor of that. I don't know how much time he has to do that.
That would be my candidate for vice president if I'm President Trump.
That's who you'd pick.
Only because of the fact that you've got to do, look, the Trump people are going to be Trump people, never Trumpers. You need something to radically change the complexion of this race. RFK Jr. as whatever you want him to be, as vice president candidate, would absolutely shock the world, and it would be the third party candidate in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania that won him in 16. I can't think of her name. Dr.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
yes,
she was
yes.
the reason why Trump is president, and that would be enough to at least be a disruptor.
And do you think that at this point the conversations are already being had with Trump and these people? Like, is
I think everything is decided. I think
you think it's done.
I think Melania's measured. You know, she's got the Rose Garden plans. Yep. They're very confident.
Yeah.
Is it? You know, should he be that confident? Trump is a machine.
Yeah.
There's no human being like him on the planet. He
maybe
deals,
ever. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, he's eating cheeseburgers and. Yep. You know, telling the world he's 228 pounds or whatever. he's Donald Trump. I think he's got all of his minds made up. I think he knows who's going to be his Secretary of State.
Yeah.
I think he knows everything.
Staff Sergeant David Bellavia, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it today. A lot of good insight here. Hopefully, as you said, we are charging to 2024, and hopefully we get some change because it is looking bleak right now in America for what we have with all the disasters we have across the country, as in we're in New York here seeing some of this migrant stuff and the way that Governor Hochul and Mayor Adams are handling things, Mark Poloncarz too. We need change not only in New York but across the country. If you need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUY. Guys, don't forget about our podcast Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and our morning show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:15, a 15-minute morning brief. Any final thoughts, David, going into 2024?
No, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Continue to follow, you know, your Twitter followers are incredible. I think you're at like 2 million.
I wish, man.
But you're doing great. You're mixing it up. Nothing brings me more joy than watch New York politicians say something, and then you're like third in the shoot, and you're right in there and just blast them right in the face. It's awesome. Your uppercut, your jab. You're rocking and rolling. You're doing good work.
I appreciate that. Thank you for that. Hopefully I'll be at 2 million. I got some time before that. I think I'm at like 80,000 right now. 2 million is a good
work.
Good goal for me though. All right, folks, again, you guys throughout the week, 833 Finn guys. We will see you next Thursday. USA,
home of the brave. Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests and my fellow citizens, America's comeback starts right now. From the free and the brave USA. I love my country, they can't take that away.